Hi, this is Dennis Byrd, and you're listening to the 5%ers podcast, where we'll learn why it is that only 5% of people who lose weight never gain it back. I'll bring my expertise in life coaching, my advanced studies in psychology, and my own personal story of beating obesity so we can learn new ways of thinking and adopt powerful strategies to lose weight and keep it off for life. Thank you for joining me today, and you're listening to the 5%ers podcast, episode number 15, Transform Pessimistic Thinking and Grow Your Optimism. Well, this is number three of a three-part series where we're going to be looking at how do we really start changing our thinking. If you are trending more towards pessimism, how do you get out of that? Or if you're trending more towards optimism, how do you move forward? Because the reality is what we've been talking about over the last two podcasts is just how much pessimism really hurts our ability to move forward with our goals in life and specifically in our health. And to recap a little bit about pessimism is that, one, it's an interpretation of life events. And the first nuance of pessimism is that it's personal. So when it's personal, we end up blaming ourselves. We end up tearing at our self-esteem. We end up coming up with lousy conclusions about who we are as people. Next, the language of pessimism is permanence. And so when you hear things like always, never, at all times, every time, and things like that, you'll really get keyed into the fact that you're moving in more of a pessimistic way. And then lastly, it's pervasive. And so a pessimist will interpret a life event, blame themselves, tear at their self-esteem. They'll think it's never going to end, and then they'll let it permeate to other areas of life that really aren't even related to the original event. In contrast, optimism, the interpretation is it's impersonal. And so even if an optimist makes a mistake or they have a failing, they don't look at themselves as defective. They don't blame themselves. They take ownership of their life and they'll make a course correction. Next, the language of optimism is you have this temporariness. So, you know, life is going to get better. I'll get back on track. This isn't going to, hold me back, and I'm really going to move forward. And then lastly, it's limited. So if something goes wrong in an optimist's life, they'll just keep it limited to that particular area. And so in the last two podcasts, we really talked a lot about how do we, you know, look at pessimism and how does that really hold us back? And then in the last podcast, optimism, how does that help us move forward? And so if you haven't listened to the previous two podcasts, I encourage you just to go ahead and pause now and go back to podcast episode number 13, the problem with pessimism, and then go to podcast number 14 after that, the opportunity with optimism. So let's talk about how do we really transform pessimistic thinking. Well, the first thing that we can do is we can put life events into context. Often what happens with pessimism is that people take things out of context and they only focus on one area. So let's go back to our original story of, you know, you're on a diet plan, you're moving forward in your health goals, you're having a lot of success, you're on a roll, and you go to an event, you go to a party, you go to the holidays, something where you let loose and you blow your diet. And you eat more than you were thinking you were. You ate the food that you were trying to avoid. And so a pessimist will look at that and say, you know, hey, look, I can't believe I did this again. I always do this. I wanted to do better, but it seems like I'm always getting tripped up by these holidays or by these events. Where an optimist will put that into context. And so they will look at that and say, you know, I've been doing great for the last 3 months. In fact, I've been more on plan, more on track than I have been off. And this is just one event out of really many that I've been to. In fact, I was at Bill's birthday party and I really ate great that day. And I didn't eat too much and I bypassed the desserts. And I've had multiple meetings at work where they bring in donuts and pastries, and I haven't partaken. I just let them go around the table and I just have my coffee. And I've had really great willpower and discipline over the last 3 months. And so, you know, this is one day out of many. And I've done better, you know, 98% of the time, and 2% of the time, sure, I've let loose here a little bit, but overall, I'm doing great. So the first thing that an optimist will do is they'll put life events into context. So again, pessimists focus on the failures. They take things out of context, and optimists will put life events into context. Next, gather a mountain of evidence on why the pessimistic thought isn't true. So I'm going to throw out a psychological concept called mistaken beliefs. And a mistaken belief is a belief that seems true but isn't. And so we all have mistaken beliefs in life. We don't always have the same mistaken beliefs, but we have mistaken beliefs because how we gain our understanding of the world and how we understand who we are as people happens in the very first 6 years of life. In that first 6 years of life, we're coming up with conclusions about who we are as people. That's our self, you know, concept. We start gathering our self-esteem. We get a sense of what the world is like, and we get a worldview. And maybe the world's a safe place, maybe it's an uncertain place, maybe it's a scary place. We get a sense of who men are and what men are supposed to be, and we get a sense of who women are and what women are supposed to be. Basically, our entire self-concept, view of other people in the world, and that develops in the very first 6 years of life. Now, the challenge is that the way kids learn this is it's mostly through observation. So kids are amazing observers, and so they're watching their parents, significant people in their life, whether it may be a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt, anyone who spends a lot of time with them, and they're watching how they're interpreting life events. And so ultimately, pessimism and optimism is a learned way of interpreting life. And we learn this through significant people. Now, a mistaken belief also is formed in early childhood because children are great observers, but they're not always good interpreters. And so what will happen is a child will come up with a mistaken belief about how things work because they don't have the mental maturity about how to interpret that. So I'll give you an example. If you tell a child that they're stupid, they may believe you. And they'll come up with that self-concept. And that's mistaken because they're not stupid. But because that was reinforced in their life, they'll believe it. If you do something for a child that they can do for themselves, they may come up with the conclusion that, wow, this is what you do for other people that you love. You help them out. Or they may come up with the conclusion that, I guess I'm not capable because you had to do this for me. And so they'll come up with a mistaken belief around their capabilities. So again, children are great observers, but they're not always good interpreters. And as a result, they have mistaken beliefs about life. And so for me, I had mistaken beliefs around my capability. I had this kind of notion that I should be capable, but I'm not always capable to achieve the things that I need to achieve. I don't know where that came up because it's unconscious. It's in the first 6 years of life. But that was the mistaken belief. And so what you have to do in order to maintain optimism, in order to transform pessimism, is you have to gather a mountain of evidence on why the pessimistic thought isn't true, because pessimistic thoughts are often rooted in mistaken beliefs. Let's go back to the example. So in my life, I had numbers of, you know, just numerous times where I was trying to lose weight. And I actually was successful. I would get on a diet plan, whether it was Weight Watchers or Atkins or the Zone diet or a low-fat diet, whatever the diet was, and I would start moving along and I would, you know, lose the weight, keep it off for maybe months, maybe even close to a year, and then something would happen. I would have a major failure in life, a huge disappointment, and then I'd start gaining the weight back. And I would have these thoughts that, you see, I'm not capable of losing weight. I'm not capable of maintaining weight. Well, the problem with that is that's not true. That's a mistaken belief. I'm not capable. The reality is I was more than capable. In fact, I was so capable that I was able to lose weight and keep it off for extended periods of time. And had I come to that conclusion, I would have a better understanding of the fact that, you know what, I can continue to do this. But because I was focusing on the mistaken belief, it sabotaged my ability to pick up, dust myself off, and get back on plan and get back on track. So we got to put life events into context. We got to gather a mountain of evidence on why the pessimistic thought isn't true. And what'll happen in life is if you gather all the evidence on why the pessimistic thought isn't true, if you get enough evidence, what'll happen is that pessimistic thought will go away. That mistaken belief will disappear. And it's a little bit like walking into a dark room and flipping on the light switch. You know, you don't have darkness and light coexisting. It's either going to be light or it's going to be dark. And so if the pessimistic thought and the mistaken belief keep popping back up, well, you haven't gathered enough evidence. And so for me, when I really started transforming my pessimistic thinking, I started looking back over the years and thought, wow, you know, I can do this. I mean, I've lost weight before. This isn't impossible. You know, I lost weight and I kept it off for a year. So what I have to do now is really get smarter with how I'm eating and exercising, test some things out and try some new things. And this time I'm going to change my lifestyle because I can't go on a diet. I have to change how I'm living. And if I change how I'm living, I'm going to be able to keep this weight off for the rest of my life. I know I can do it. And so really by gathering that evidence, I gained more confidence in my ability to lose weight and more confidence in my ability to maintain my weight once I'd lost it. Another strategy for transforming pessimistic thinking is you got to really listen to yourself and watch out for the language that's personal, permanent, and pervasive. And so as I was moving forward in my goals, because this isn't a perfect process and it doesn't have to be, you know, I've lost some weight. I go to an event, I blow my diet, I just don't eat the way that I want to. And I got to the point where I could really hear myself explain what was happening. And immediately I would hear, God, Dennis, you're so stupid. What? You know better than this. You knew you had to prepare. And then boom, whoa, stop. And I had to stop and reframe what I was thinking and get off the personal attacks and just say, you know what, Dennis, you're human. This is going to happen. You know, give yourself a break. You've been doing great over the last 5 or 6 months. Don't worry about it, right? So you get off the personal. If I would get into the permanent, like, gosh, I always do this. I always hit the holidays and I always gain weight at the holidays. And I would have to stop myself and say, you know what? You don't always gain weight at the holidays. Put it back into context. Last Thanksgiving, you did a great job. You ate well, you exercised, and you didn't gain a pound over last Thanksgiving. And so I'd have to watch for that permanent language. And when it creeps in, to stop it and to say, you know what? This doesn't always happen. I don't always do this. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. And if I would hear myself get into that pervasiveness and letting it permeate into other areas of my life, I would just stop myself and say, you know what? This is just about, you know, blowing my diet. It's just about losing a little control at an event. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with my relationships. It has nothing to do with my career or my parenting. It's just about the fact that this was one event out of many, and I just didn't do as well as I had planned to. So what we really need to do is to take our pessimistic thoughts and we need to make them impersonal, temporary, and limited. So one of the things I did at the very beginning of my process, when I really started transforming my pessimistic thinking and really becoming more optimistic, is I carried a notebook with me everywhere I went for 3 days, and every time I had a negative thought about myself or anything else, I wrote it down. And at the end of 3 days, I went back and I looked at all the negative thoughts. And to be honest with you, I was blown away by all the negativity. I couldn't believe how many negative thoughts would just filter and flitter into my mind and then float out. But when I paid attention and wrote them down, I just couldn't believe that, you know, I was having this many negative thoughts, because sometimes you just let them come and go. But when you write them down, it really helps you to get a sense of how much negativity is going through your head. And what I did was looked through all the negative thoughts, and I really came up with some themes. And I wasn't negative about every area of my life, but I definitely was negative about my health. I really was coming up with some lousy conclusions about the fact that I felt stuck. I'm always going to be fat and obese. I'm never going to fix this. And I saw all that negativity in those statements. So my encouragement to you, if you're more on the pessimistic side of the scale, is do that same strategy. Take a notebook and write down every thought that you're having that's negative. And look for the themes. And you may be negative around your health, but you might be negative about other themes. And so that's when I had to go back to the strategies of putting life events into context, gathering a mountain of evidence on why the pessimistic thought isn't true, watching out for that language that's pessimistic, and really reworking it into more of an optimistic framework. The other thing that I had to do as well that really helped was to look at other areas in my life where I struggled yet succeeded. And the reality is that we are tougher than we think, and we are much stronger than we think. And if you live long enough, life can really kick you in the teeth. You know, it can knock you down, kick you in the side. But we're still here, and we're still thriving, and we're still surviving. And I know that in my past, I've been through some difficult times, yet I overcame them. And so what I would do is I would look to other areas of my life where I had success, and I started translating that, you know, if I can have success in this area of my life, I can have success in my health. So personal example is one of the areas of my life that I really had some lousy conclusions was my ability to handle finances. And in my early 20s, I just did some stupid things like some people do, and I got more in debt than I wanted to be. And I had this whole pessimistic view that I'm not capable of handling my finances, and I'm always going to be in debt, and you know, the whole rant like a pessimist. But then I realized that I had actually overcome some obstacles in my ability to handle my finances, and I'd moved forward in those, and I actually got out of debt and I achieved some financial success. And when I started looking at that, I said, well, shoot, if I can turn this around in my finances, why can't I turn this around in my health? You know, they're different issues, but they're still very emotional. They can definitely hook you and, you know, hammer at your self-esteem. But if you can be successful in one area of life, you can translate that into other areas of life. And that's something that optimists are great at doing. So an optimist will say, you know what? If I can be successful here, I can be successful over here too. I can, you know, let that in a sense permeate in a positive way into this other area. What's funny about pessimism is just how ridiculous it can be sometimes. My good friend Sean Goodsell and I ran a marathon back in 1993. And it's one of those things that you do in your 20s that you look back and you go, wow, that was stupid. And Sean and I were preparing to run the Twin Cities Marathon, which is in October. And we had started training, and my friend Sean said, hey, Dennis, you know, we should really run Grandma's Marathon, which is in Duluth, Minnesota, in early June. And then that'll give us, like, you know, a good leg up to prepare for, you know, the Twin Cities Marathon in October. Well, I'd never run a marathon before, and Sean is an incredible athlete and gifted that way, and he had run some marathons. So I thought, well, Sean says I can do it, I guess I can do it. So I approached Grandma's Marathon, and my longest run up to that point had been 9 miles. That was the longest I'd run in my life. And I got to the starting line, and I ran 26 miles with only 9 mile training run underneath my belt. That's as far as I got. And I hit the wall at mile 20 and just collapsed. I mean, it just, I barely was able to stand on my feet, but I was able to walk a mile, then run a mile, walk a mile, then run a mile. And I finished. And what's interesting about pessimism is I just got done with a marathon. And one of the first thoughts I had was, that was a total fluke. I mean, I couldn't do that again. I mean, that was just crazy. I just ran 26 miles and I called it a fluke. I mean, if anything, I should have been saying, you know what? I ran 9 miles and I went from 9 to 26.2. That's incredible. Now, I paid a penalty for it. I was, you know, could barely walk for the next week, but I was able to do it. You know, now that I'm in my 40s, I look back at that and go, wow, that was crazy. You know, so now I'm preparing for a half marathon and I have to go out and run, you know, 12 miles this weekend. And that used to feel daunting, but I translate that experience to say, you know what, if I can go from 9 to 26, I can run 12 miles. Now, of course, you got to build up to it and you got to be smart about it. And I'm much smarter about my training than I was back in my 20s because I don't want to overdo it and I don't want to get hurt. But the reality is you can take one area of life and say, wow, I ran a marathon. I can do this, right? Translate that experience of overcoming obstacles into your health. And the reality is for so many of you, you are highly successful in so many other areas. You're successful in your relationships. You're successful in your careers. You have great kids. You have amazing talents. And the reality is you're better than this. And I was better than that. I mean, I look back and looked at all the struggles that I had and when I was at my heaviest, and I look back and I go, wow, you know what? I'm not there anymore. And the reality is I was better than where I let myself go. That ultimately wasn't me. The person that I am today is more of who I'm meant to be. I have so much more self-confidence. I have so much more peace at, you know, where I'm at in my health because all the concerns around being diabetic and having heart disease, not being able to play with my kids because I'm so overweight, and all those things that used to nag at me just aren't there anymore. And I'm a huge believer that so much of our process in maintaining our health, it's mental. That just a huge portion of your ability to lose weight and maintain weight is how you are approaching this mentally, how you're thinking about it, how you're interpreting your progress or your lack of progress. And so my encouragement to you is if you are on that continuum more towards pessimism, that you really start working on the strategies to get out of that pessimism, to reframe how you're thinking and approaching life so that you're more optimistic. And if you're on the continuum of optimism and you're not as optimistic as you'd like to be, well, you can use the same strategies, you know, to turn around any negative thinking that you're having and any negative interpretations that you're having so that you can become more resilient, you can become more mentally tough. Because what we are looking at, folks, is we are looking at losing weight and never gaining it back for the rest of our lives. Now, I've kept off 50 plus pounds for 10 years. 4 years ago, I lost an additional 30 pounds. So I've had 80 pounds of weight loss for a decade. Now, I'm a realist enough to understand that if I were to just totally change my lifestyle and give up, I could gain the 80 pounds back. That is a possibility. But because I've changed my life, but because I've changed my thinking, because I'm more optimistic, I know that I've got more tools and strategies that will help me be successful for the rest of my life. And so on one level, I know that I could gain the weight back, but on another level, I know I've got everything that I need in order to keep this weight off for the rest of my life, because that's the goal. I've said this and I'll keep saying this, losing weight is not the issue. Most people can lose weight. The challenge is can we build a life, adopt a lifestyle, a strategy of eating and exercising that's sustainable, that where we feel good and we have that thought that, you know what, I can do this for the rest of my life. And if you have that kind of a lifestyle change and have that kind of strategy, you're going to be successful and you're going to become a 5%er too. And remember, 5%er is somebody who's lost weight and kept it off for a minimum of 5 years. And the theory is that if you can keep weight off for 5 years, you can keep it off for the rest of your life because you've made fundamental lifestyle changes. So my encouragement to you is to think about, where are you on that continuum? You can even take out a piece of paper and write pessimism on one side, optimism on one side, draw a line between the two, and just mark on that line where you think you are on that continuum. Now, you don't want to be overly optimistic, because sometimes that leads you into a little bit of what I'd call denial, and you don't want to be overly pessimistic. You want to be more on that continuum of moving towards optimism so that you can have the resiliency that you need. That wraps up our series on pessimism and optimism, and I encourage you that if you are on that continuum more towards pessimism, that you really work on how you're interpreting life. And if you're on the continuum of optimism and you want to grow that optimism and maintain that optimism, you have all the tools and strategies that you need in order to be successful. And remember that it's our thinking that can really help or hurt us. And if you maintain that optimism and grow that optimism, you're going to succeed in the goals in your life. Thanks for listening today. And if you found this podcast helpful, let your friends and family know about it. And if you will, go to iTunes and find the 5%ers podcast and leave a review and let other people know how it's been helpful. If you want to know more about being a 5%er, you can go to my website at dennisburn.org. And remember, folks, when it comes to your health, work hard, do your best, and never give up. Have a great day, everybody.